You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married. I'm talking about bad behavior.
Okay, what about bad behavior?
Well, there's a whole lot of it going around.
Do you think?
And it's getting pretty old, don't you think?
I do think that. I feel bad for all of us in this country right now because we have so many wonderful, wonderful people that are trying to do good things and good deeds every single day. We've got parents with tremendous challenges. We've got working people with work challenges and family challenges. I mean, we've got our military and our first responders with their challenges, everybody trying to do good things. We've got our president of the United States and his cabinet and his administration trying to move this country forward. And on top of that, we are just infused, like you said, with people with bad behavior. What's the deal?
Well, I mean, a lot of it, I think, is still this whole Trump derangement syndrome. But, you know, it is a bizarre time, Ron. Just if you just look in one day, just a given day in the news, and you kind of hang out there and read some stories, you're going to find a whole bunch of bad behavior. So I'm going to name some for you. Let's talk about the media. The media has a guy, I don't remember his name, he's a young guy, on MSNBC, who, when Trump announced his president, his candidacy in Florida and gave his speech, he went on air and said, well, President Trump is, you know, supposed to be this big guy, anti-abortion, you know, pro-life, and he didn't mention a thing about it in his speech. Well, yes, he did. He did a whole section on pro-life and the anti-abortion issue, and this guy just completely reported it falsely.
Well, don't you think that there's a couple of reasons for that? Number one, the whole, like you said, the Trump derangement syndrome, and the media has just been out to get him forever, and that's unfortunate because people watch television, they listen to the radio, and unfortunately, they suck up a lot of the Kool-Aid that we find on the liberal channels. But the other thing is that they just don't want this country to move forward. And they can't forget about Donald Trump. If they would just stop that, I get that you may not like the guy, but look at all the things that he's accomplishing and his administration's accomplishing. Please don't, you know, diminish that, because everybody is been gaining because of the things that President Trump has done in just a couple of years that other presidents, and I'm talking about Republican presidents, have failed to do for the last 50 or 60 years.
They don't see it because they don't want to see it. But then you had, same day. Everything I'm talking about is in the same day. You had an MSNBC anchor again, Casey Hunt, who went on air and called two senators segregationists, and that you know they were Joe Biden's buddies or whatever. But the thing is that she called them Republicans, and she made a big deal about them being Republicans and they were segregationists. Well, here's the truth. They are Democrats. And she apologized a day later and said she got it wrong, and she'd correct it in the next show after that. But, you know, they either are stupid and they don't have their facts right, or they don't do their research, or they purposely put out things hoping not to get caught because they know that most of America is unengaged and
uneducated.
And I don't want to say uneducated. I want to say that they're uneducated in all of these minute facts that people put out, that, you know, they just hope that they blindly believe them. And here's another one that I think is even worse, and it's this on the same day, where CNN's Don Lemon, who just shouldn't even be on the news, compared President Trump to Hitler. And he said that Hitler started with little lies and this guy's just like him. Where in anything that President Trump does is he like Hitler? This is a man that's for the people of this country. And, you know, he made that clear in his speech when he made his announcement to run again for president. And he said, I'm doing this for you, not for me. He's a rich guy. He doesn't need this kind of headaches. But yet you have this guy going on in front of millions of people and telling them that he's like Hitler. And you had other people on his station saying that President Trump's speech was dark. These are just flat out lies, and it makes me really angry that people get away with it and we sit by and say nothing.
Well, let's just kind of take this for a second, and instead of jumping off the cliff here, let's take— I'm not jumping with you. I look at things a little bit, not that you don't, but I tend to look at things forensically and not emotionally. And first of all, I listened to President Trump's speech. I thought it was a great speech. I thought it was one of his better speeches. And by the way, it was to a crowd of, 25,000 people, where we had 100,000 people try to buy tickets to get in there. So certainly, President Trump's message is resonating with certain segments of the American people. I don't think that you will ever see all of the Democratic candidates together, if they were to get them into an arena, all of them, every single one of them, they could not put together 25,000 people for every single one of those candidates.
It's worse than that.
Put together.
To your point, on this same day that I'm speaking about, they had 10 of them together doing a anti-poverty big speech, and they had about 200 people.
And they had half of those guys.
Ten of them.
And half of those guys were staff. Okay. But, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of keep that in mind. But to your point, and also mine, that people are uninformed, they're uneducated, and they're mean and nasty, and they don't have any context about history. And you brought up Lemon talking about, you know, comparing President Trump to Hitler, and thank God for the First Amendment that would allow him to do this, because if Trump was really Hitler, that guy would have been executed, because that's what Hitler used to do. Yeah. He wasn't going to let anybody get out there and speak against him. But speaking of Hitler, look at what Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez
just said in a very recent Instagram video, and she compared the United States of America to Hitler and the Third Reich, alleging that the United States of America is maintaining concentration camps for illegal aliens. My God, you know, have you been to those so-called concentration camps? I just read an article. As a matter of fact, I was very much in disagreement with it, because, and we have Tom Holman, the brand new czar. Brand new czar.
I don't know. Did he accept yet? Or he's close?
He's pretty close. But he, according to this article that I read, he'd already put out a directive that all of the transgender—
Oh, I was just thinking of that.
That all of the transgender illegal aliens, the United States taxpayers are going to have to pay for all of their hormone therapy, and then also education on how to put on makeup and do your hair and things like that.
Yeah, that while sounds like a concentration camp.
By the way, that's my point. Just leave the whole transgender thing out of it, but look at what's going on, okay? The only complaints that they're having in these detention centers from, like, the kids is that, could we get more flat-screen televisions?
Yeah.
Okay, could we get more ice cream? Can we get more cake? Can we play more games? Can we stay out longer for soccer? Come on, these are not concentration camps. But when you get a 22-year-old bartender, and that's the only job she ever had, because she couldn't keep a job before that one, and she's never been anywhere in her entire life, then why don't we send her to Poland? Why don't we send her to East Germany? Why don't we send her to the areas of Germany where we had Nazi concentration camps? Why don't we send her to, that city, Nuremberg? Why don't we send her to Nuremberg, where we went and took a look at the Remembrance Museum, that had all sorts of things about the Third Reich. It was an entire history, the rise and the fall of the Third Reich with concentration camps. They don't know what they're talking
about. She actually was offered that to go get educated by one of the museums that, you know, understand all of this and that have all the exhibits, and they said that they'll educate her. Here's the thing. Don't open your mouth if you don't know what you're talking about. That hasn't stopped any of them. And then you have, in the same day, you have, what's her name, Hirono from Hawaii, who says...
The state senator
Maisie
from
Hirono,
Hawaii.
Who defends Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and says that, you know, anybody who disagrees with it is just, you know, trying to protect Trump. What kind of hogwash is this that's going on? They lie, and then they lie about the lie.
Well, do you remember just recently we were in Hawaii and we were doing a little vacation?
Yes.
And we were over in Kauai, and we went out. We like to take that whale watching cruise that's out there, and the captain of the ship, I can't remember what his name is. It's not important, but he's Hawaiian. He's a big Hawaiian guy, right? And we got into a conversation with him, and we found out that he was a Hawaiian conservative. And he told us that nobody takes Hirono,
takes
her seriously.
Over there, yeah.
And he said if it wasn't for all the California people that moved to Hawaii, she would have never gotten elected because everybody that voted for her came from Oahu.
Oh,
you remember when he said that?
Yeah.
So, you know, we can't take that stuff seriously.
Well, but the thing, I'm just talking bad behavior. So on the same day, Nancy Pelosi puts out that she does not trust our attorney general and that she's afraid. I mean, give me a break. Nancy Pelosi is afraid of William Barr. This, another lie.
Wait a minute. No, I'm... Hang on a second. You got to look at it two ways. If you're looking at it from Nancy Pelosi's direction, she should be afraid of William Barr.
That's not why she's saying
she should be afraid of him. Okay? But she's afraid of him for the wrong reasons. Okay? She should be afraid because he is not scared of anybody. He doesn't need the job. He's already been the Attorney General of the United States, and he is going to get to the bottom of this entire Clinton-Obama scandal, this whole the Democratic National Committee, the FISA warrants, all of this stuff, Comey, Brennan, everything. And I'm telling you what, if Trump gets elected, he's got four more years to work on this. I don't know if people will go to prison, but I think people will get indicted.
Well, I hope so. And then you had the same day, you had Kamala Harris claiming that Trump is trying to get rid of certain ethnic groups. And that's why he's doing things on the border. And all these things are out and out lies. And why we as Americans put up with this and stand by and we have no outcry about it. You know, we just go along, you know, go along to get along. I don't know.
Let me throw something in here. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're both working people, and we're hardworking people. And you and I consistently, even during the weekends, I mean, we've been known to work 14 hours a day, day after day after day to get work done. Linda, don't you think that there are a lot of Americans that are just like us? Not only small business owners, but people that are blue-collar workers, people that are working more than one job to keep their, you know, keep their growing families comfortable, they don't have the time to go out and protest. They don't have the time that a lot of the people on the left seem to have to go out and stir up things and do these protests and do all this Instagramming and doing all of that. Okay? I think the average person, and I feel for them, the average person doesn't have time to get embroiled in all this stuff. But here's what I would say to those people. You must educate yourself. You and I have said from the get-go, when Trump first announced his first candidacy back in, I think, 2015, you and I talked about we are in a fight for the soul of America and for our values and everything that the United States of America, everything that's good that the United States of America stands for. That's what we're in a fight for. And guess what? They're in that same fight.
Well, they are in the same fight. And the thing is, you're right. People are, they're busy. And the other thing is that I see a lot of is that people are tuning out so much because they don't want to hear all this controversy.
Yes.
And they're sick of all the
yes.
lies and they don't know what to believe anymore.
Yes.
And I've talked to so many people who feel that way and who purposely unplug from listening to any of this go on. But like you said, that leaves the people that are out there telling the lies, like Don Lemon, who I swear every day that I ever hear anything that he says, it's a lie. And I just don't get that. The same with Joy Behar and a few of the other people.
Well, look at Stephanopoulos. Just did that big interview with Donald Trump. And I mean, come on. You cannot argue that Donald Trump is not the most transparent president that we've had in our lifetime. I can't think of another, maybe Ronald Reagan, but I can't think of another Republican or Democratic president of the United States that has been so open, has held as many press conferences, has opened himself to the opposing media. George Stephanopoulos, huge anti-Trumper. He let that guy have, what, about 3 days of his time in Air Force One, in the Beast, the limo, in the Oval Office, which Stephanopoulos had sure been there a million times when he was, you know, working for Clinton. And, you know, you just can't countenance what Stephanopoulos does after he has been granted all this openness and transparency from Trump to try to turn that around and use it against him. Okay, it's
in
some specious, ridiculous argument.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. There's so many lies and so much bad behavior going on, and it's so rampant. Some days, Ron, it makes me feel really, really hopeless.
Well, you know, I kind of feel that you're a little bit down today, and, you know, when you start out by saying, you know, I want to talk about bad behavior, I'm thinking you had probably a bad day. And I thought you were going to talk about a bunch of different types of bad behavior. But boy, I'll tell you what, you just circle right back around to politics, okay?
Well, because the dishonesty about it really is disturbing to me. And the fact that, you know, I'm really tired of people accusing Trump like whoever it was I just said, that just said he was like Hitler. I mean, are you just kidding me to make a reference like that to him? That there's nothing at all Hitler-like about President Trump. Nothing.
No. And I'll tell you what, that may reach and resonate with the very few of the far left. But really, the vast amount of Democrats that are out there and the moderate Democrats, they don't believe any of that. They don't believe any of that because there's no evidence of any of that. And I think they do just like we do sometimes, Linda. They take a look at this stuff and they say, you know what, that's a bunch of hogwash. And, I mean, that's way over the top, and I'm not going to believe in that. Now, we need to be worried about this election just like we were worried about the last election. But I think that when everything is said and done, I think Trump's going to knock all these people out of the box. I think these Democrats are going to knock each other out of the box. I think you're looking at a Biden-Trump election, and it's going to be the guy that has the most energy. It's going to be whether or not, you know, the RNC has enough volunteers and stuff to get the vote out. It's about apathetic or indifferent or busy Republicans that last time might have sat it out, that this time they have to get out there and they have to really fight for our country. We're going in the right direction, and we need to support this president of the United States and his administration. How about a cup of coffee?
I'm ready.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
Well, just to calm me down, I made some coffee with Bailey's for us.
You're darn right. And what I asked you what kind of snack you were having, and you told me you were eating cookie dough. I'm not so sure that is a healthy thing to do, eat cookie dough.
I've been dieting, and I've been actually really good. So I had a bite of cookie dough just to, you know, assuage my sweet tooth.
Have you been enjoying our evening walks when we get home from work when it's not too hot? Have you been enjoying Have you been enjoying that?
When would that be, when it's not too hot? Yes, I love the evening walks, and it is very hot. It's 100 degrees.
But yesterday it was nice, right? Because we came home, and it was a little bit overcast, and we said... I already had some shorts on. I wore shorts to work, and we just grabbed our tennis shoes and kept the dog locked up on the property and went out for a walk. And I thought that was really nice.
Oh yeah, I love. You know, there's so much to see because we live in a rural area, and there's deer and there's
deer all over. You got to watch so you don't get run over by deer. As a matter of fact,
once one runs, they all run. Anyway, one more thing on. Some bad behavior that's getting punished for being bad behavior, which is a good thing.
Okay.
So you remember the guy who worked for Senator Maggie Hassan and also worked for Sheila Jackson Lee, right? And he is the guy that doxed Brett Kavanaugh's,
different
people.
Okay, so there's the key word, the doxing guy.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name, when you said Sheila Jackson Lee, I remember that incident right away. And that was pretty serious, actually.
Yeah, his name is Jackson Costco. And, you know, I mean, just a little bit of reminder about what that was, is this is a guy who worked for Senator Maggie Hassan as... I guess something to do in her office.
I think he was an aide.
And he had access to all of their computers and all of their information.
He had the password and access entry code to get into the congressional not only congressional, but the Senate records, the personnel files, as a matter of fact, contact information.
How that happened. Yeah, well, I'll tell you how that happened. But anyway, what he did was he was a felon previously. He should never have been hired for that kind of a job in the first place. So, I mean, what is wrong, again, with our senators that they don't know what the heck they're doing here in hiring people?
Well, you mean like...
That puts everybody at risk.
Well, you mean like Dianne Feinstein's chauffeur being a Chinese spy?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like that. Well, so this guy got fired. And nobody will say why he got fired by Senator Hassan. And this is before he ever did any of this. So what he did was, he was angry that he got fired. So he engaged a gal who worked in that same area, who still worked there, and was given access to Senator Hassan's office at least 4 different times. And in those times, he went through all of the files, and he put spyware in the equipment.
Man. Oh, that's
and
serious.
Then he could pick out every single keystroke, so that therein getting all of the passwords for everything. And
I didn't know it was that bad. I thought he just gave out the personal addresses and telephone numbers and cell numbers of a variety of Republican senators. I didn't know he did that.
He stole all of the senators' data out of the computers.
I remember that.
And he did use it to dox Republicans during the Brett Kavanaugh hearing. But he also, he blackmailed people. And, he used it for a lot of different things. So he really was a bad guy. And he is going to be going to jail. He has now pleaded guilty. And he's going to be sentenced very shortly here. The prosecution only asked for 5 years. I think this guy should get a lot more because the police and the people that went in to examine the computers never found all of the things that he put in there. He actually told them of a lot of the things that were in there that were still, to this day, tracking everything that they did. And they didn't even know. So they aren't sure that there's still not things in their tracking. But he did, like you said, he had access to everybody's bit of information, their kids. He got access to people's medical records. He got access to just lots of things, and you know, was really doing some bad things with it.
Well, you know, that's the scary thing about computers, right? I mean,
it is.
I think we're all guilty of this. I know I'm guilty of it. You know, you get into these different programs and stuff. I know the ones that I'll tell you that I never do is anytime that there's an app that requests to get into all my phone files and my contact lists and all my photographs and videos and stuff, absolutely not. You know, I don't need that app where I'm going to give up all of that stuff. So I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, well, the thing that this guy thought, and by the way, he was had rich parents. He didn't work for money. He worked for free. And he didn't need to work because his parents supported him. So he had that entitlement issue going on where if he didn't like somebody's politics, he just got the goods on them and was using it to hurt them. So,
well, he's not the only person that does stuff like that.
Yeah.
Look at all the junk that's going on. Even congresspeople and senators
are
pulling that kind of crap.
He published the personal information of Senators Lindsey Graham, Orrin Hatch, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, Mitch McConnell. And he thought it was funny that he did that. So I'm really, really glad that he ended up getting caught. And how he got caught was just an accident by a witness seeing him. And then he bribed the witness and actually threatened the witness. But the guy apparently, you know, told on him anyway. But anyway, that's this guy, and some bad behavior is going to get punished. Although I don't think 5 years, if that's what he gets, is going to be
well.
Long
and I
enough.
Bet you they take this guy and they stick him in a club fed, you know, one of those, you know, places where it's really not punishment at all. I mean, they got a swimming pool, they got tennis courts. It's not like you're doing hard time, you know, behind the wall, so to speak. You know, I mean, I'll tell you what, you want to talk about bad behavior for a second. Are you tired of this justice system for them versus justice for us?
Oh, absolutely. Tired of that? Absolutely.
I am so tired of that. And then the other thing I just wanted to say, speaking of court systems and things like that, you know, they talk about, I've been, you know, reading all these different articles about gun violence and this kind of violence and that. And you know, you take a look and it's the same players over and over again. And I just saw an article today where a guy committed it wasn't an armed robbery. It was active drug sales. And it was sales for weight, by the way. So he was a big-time dope dealer. And the judge put him out on bail and an electronic monitoring bracelet, okay, for a guy that is basically selling a lot of poison to kids and adults. And so that's how you treat these people. And then I'm so sick of all these people that shoot people and kill people. And when you look at their records, they have just been carrying guns, committing robberies, beating people up, shooting people, you know, assaults, all these horrible records, and nothing ever happens to them until they kill somebody.
Yeah, and I'll tell you where else nothing ever happens, Ron, and this breaks my heart, and you and I talk about it personally all the time. It's a tough thing to talk about to other people because nobody wants to hear it, but the amount of horrible, cruel child abuse going on in this country where children are, I mean, absolutely tortured and locked away in closets and starved to death and all these things happen after social services has reported time and time again that this poor child is at high risk. So that's something that really, really frustrates me that I won't go into anymore, but that I could go into for hours because it's just so wrong. The judges are way too lenient. The systems in our country, the social services, all those places are way too lenient. You know, I remember back in the day when, do you remember when like welfare fraud was, oh my gosh, it was a huge thing, and they would arrest doctors and they would arrest different people for welfare fraud. They would arrest people if they were, you know, taking food stamps or different types of support that they really didn't need and they were lying about it. Now, I mean, everybody gets it.
Well, you know, just look at what recently happened, and I think it was in Dallas County with the new Dallas lead prosecutor or the district attorney there. And I think just a few months ago, he came out with this edict that they were not going to prosecute misdemeanor crimes anymore. So misdemeanor assault, misdemeanor theft, misdemeanor trespassing, drug, you know, drug use, drug influence. You know, they weren't going to prosecute any of that anymore. And I'm going like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So basically, a lot of quality of life crimes, you are not going to prosecute. And you think that that's going to be a reduction in crime? That's what you think? Remember, just like I said, you know, when we were first talking tonight, I mentioned about, you know, gun violence and behavior modification. You have got to modify behavior, or the behavior is not only going to continue, but it's going to get worse.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I think any parent worth their salt knows that.
Yeah, and I always have my same example I give about that with kids. But you're
what,
right.
String them up?
No. No.
Oh.
about the bedtime thing.
Well, wait a minute. What? Okay, so we're in San Antonio on Saturday, and we're looking at that guy that does does the red net.
I was going to talk about that.
U2 sensation.
Chad Prather.
And I'd never heard of the guy before, and you were taking me out for a surprise kind of like birthday thing with the kids. And he did a whole thing called beat their beep. And I mean, he was like, my kids do something that I know it's wrong and they know it's wrong, beat their beep.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think everybody in that audience was laughing so hard that they were crying because they could relate to what he was talking about.
Well, we all grew up with that.
I mean, oh, I certainly did.
Dad used to definitely, you know, spank my behind when he came home. My mom would always say, you know, wait till your dad gets home, and then I'd be putting a book in my underwear.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, my folks were Italian right off the boat, and I can remember my dad chasing me around the house.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom would yell at him, Lee, don't hit him in the head. Don't hit him in the head. And I'm going, oh, my God, what's happening behind me?
Yes.
As I'm running away from him.
Yeah, and in Catholic school, I mean, if you did something wrong,
the
they came over with those rulers and hit your knuckles.
Jesuit nuns? Oh, please.
You
want to talk about bad behavior.
We survived and we have better behavior because of it. And this again, you know, there's just so many, it's all my laws of unintended consequences that happen here. Because you have the media, you have the politicians, you have the judges doing all of these things that don't hold people accountable for their behavior. Nobody holds the politicians accountable. They just reelect them.
Oh, my God. That's a truism for sure, Linda.
Nobody holds the judges accountable.
No, not at all.
Nobody holds anybody accountable. And, you know, we're in the everybody gets a trophy type of environment. But what you get from that is you get more bad behavior. And that's what we're seeing now is that these people who are supposed to set the example for the people in the country are setting a bad example. So what do they get? More bad behavior.
Okay. So, and I'm going to bring it around and I'm going to bring it back to Trump for a minute. All right. Because, you know, you came out with a great article and we did a little coffee conversation on it a couple of months ago about how politicians are like surrogate parents.
Yes.
But they're dysfunctional parents.
Yes.
And then we are the kids, right?
Yes.
And so as the parents act out, the kids are going to act out,
yes.
Right? And
mm-hmm.
I love that article, and that was a great conversation we have. But look at what's going on with regards to President Trump, and he sees the bad behavior from our allies and people that are not necessarily friends of the United States. I would call them adversaries, North Korea, China,
Russia,
mm-hmm. you know, Nicaragua, not as much Nicaragua, but Venezuela, I think, is a better example. And also, of course, the European Union, you know, if you're dealing with France and Great Britain and Germany and these countries, and they act out. And Trump said, listen, I've had enough of this. The United States of America has had enough of this. And what does he do? He cracks down like a parent would crack down, and he's using, you know, the power of the United States with economic sanctions, and thank God we have a vibrant economy that allows us to do that. But as a in Mexico, and take a look at what is happening right now. He's getting what? Compliance. Where he didn't get compliance before, he's getting compliance. Now there's some bad people out there that are not complying. They're fighting them. You know, Iran is fighting them. North Korea is fighting them. China's playing a game, but look at pretty much everybody else. They might be bitching and moaning, but they're falling into compliance.
Well, and, you know, some interesting things have happened in the world recently. And one is that Britain, they elected the guy, and I don't remember his name, you may, the one guy that we hope that they would...
The prime minister, the new prime, because Theresa May was out.
Right. So they elected the new guy who is definitely got a set date in October for getting out of the EU. And come hell or high water, whether it's with an agreement or not, he's out. And, you know, so now we have more people standing up for themselves. Mexico just signed the new agreement between Mexico, the United States, and Canada.
And that's a huge deal.
Huge deal.
I don't think the United States, people in the United States understand what a huge deal that is. You and I, we deal with Mexico. We've got a, you know, place over there. We understand Mexicans, the culture. We speak the language. We understand what a big deal that is.
Well, and they signed it before us, which I think is shameful because, again, Pelosi's holding it up.
That's embarrassing,
It's embarrassing. Not bringing it to a vote because she doesn't want Trump to have a win. But the other countries in this meeting,
Canada,
in this agreement, are saying we need this done. So, yeah, a lot of good things. And one more thing that I'll tell you, just today at work, I needed to buy something from overseas. Last time I bought the item, which is a custom bag that I needed to buy for resorts that I work with, and there was a tariff on it, right? Well, this time I'm going with the same manufacturer, but guess what? They have moved their manufacturing to Vietnam, and I have no tariff.
Oh, wow.
So
no tariff? You have no tariff?
No tariff.
Wow.
So this is what's happening, is that people are finding alternate resources. And I love that because this is what's going to make China bend, because this is hurting them. Whether President Xi wants to admit it or not, it hurts him. And it helps the Vietnamese. So it's really interesting because I also got an order today for jackets that reference a nice saying about Vietnamese on the back of it, which was an unusual order. So anyway, things do turn around, and I think that you told me today that the stock market is up, what?
Oh my God, it's up incredibly high. And there was a comparison between the last 24 months of the Obama administration, which includes Joe Biden as vice president.
Oh, absolutely.
I might add. So he owns that.
He owns it.
And they were at just under $7 trillion. Just under, they were $6.9 trillion. Trump is over $30 trillion.
Yeah, in two years.
Amazing. In his first, not even, what, 24 months, I guess,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Are we even there yet?
Nope.
No, we're not.
No. Yeah. So the economy, despite what they say, the economy is humming along. And today I read that, you know, oh, well, that the housing bubble is going to burst and don't invest in housing. And, you know, I disagree. Some areas might, but we're still rolling along.
Well, how about our last cup of coffee of the evening?
Got some more Baileys.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
As I'm gulping down my last cup of coffee, I just thought I'd share with you some kind of interesting. And I'm over on my Facebook page today, and I saw that someone had posted some prices of gas in California that are like $4.79 a gallon. All right, so you know, today we had the RV, and we went over to the gas station, which was, we used the Walmart gas, okay, like all rednecks should, and we filled up for $2.13 a gallon.
Woohoo!
Okay, can you imagine that? Okay, $2.13 a gallon. So what the heck has happened in California where those people over there have voted themselves in these gas prices? You know, now the legislature, you know, screwed them up pretty good, and they voted in some additional taxes and everything with the gas. But I can remember just about 3 years ago when Californians were suckered into putting another 30% on their gas prices to pay for the so-called roads. And, you know, you and I were just in California for three long weeks. And what did you think of the roads while we were there?
They haven't done a thing for the roads. In fact, the roads get worse every single time we go there, and the traffic gets worse. I honestly don't know who designs their freeways, because they are the worst designed freeways with traffic, unless there's just so many cars that you can't possibly move them. But if you make them enough lanes, then you should be able to move them. You know, a long time ago, you remember at Disneyland, we had the monorail, right?
Right.
And, I mean, that has been there.
And they still have it. And
yes,
it's beautiful.
Yes. That has been there forever, since I was a little
50
kid.
50 years. Over 50 years, right?
Okay, Disneyland. Well, thank you for sharing that.
I'm not saying you were there 50
years
ago.
It was a great, it was and is, and if it's been there that long, like you say, it's still operating and it's still totally functional.
Doing well.
They should have had that system throughout Los Angeles a long time ago. That would have been far less expensive than these freeways and continuing to have to buy people's houses and property and move them out and widen the freeways. It's and do it poorly at that.
Well, you know, there's so much politics that go into something like that, you know, mass transit. And, you know, one of the things that I said a long time ago is, why don't they have a Disneyland monorail running down Las Vegas Boulevard, right down the center of
Absolutely.
an elevated monorail train, and then just have the, you know, the walkways, the pedestrian walkways that go to all the different, you know, casinos, hotel casinos. Well, it's the taxi cab lobby.
It's the unions, right.
Yeah, it's the unions.
Right,
it's
exactly.
The taxi cab unions that bought off the politicians, the mayor and the city council, and you got 100, you know, million taxi cabs, which are getting kind of screwed now by Uber and Lyft and, you know, anything else. But, you know, they did build a little monorail, but it is what's the word?
It just
pathetic is
yeah,
the word.
You're right.
And it doesn't go to anywhere that you would want it to go to.
Well, it just goes to a couple places that are related to each other,
right,
actually. But yeah, if we would have done that and had that kind of foresight, and I don't know why we don't. And you know,
because bigger is better.
This in Las Vegas was the taxi cab union, totally.
Correct.
Not sure what it was. It could have been that in Los Angeles, because yellow cabs were very, very big in Los Angeles back then. And it absolutely could have been that union as well. But, you know, I have never, in my lifetime, I've never agreed with or thought that unions do a darn good thing for anybody. And I don't think that we should have them anymore. I think that they're way outdated. And I think that they are full of a bunch of feathers, and they do nothing except for feather their own nests.
Well, you know, we have a good friend of ours, and I recently held her out with a administrative case that she had, go nameless for the purpose of our conversation. But she tried to involve her union in this, and everybody that she dealt with, and I had to deal with too, were completely incompetent. They did absolutely nothing for her.
And these right? are the union representatives that are there that are supposed to be representing you as an employee and a union paying person, right?
And what I did is I came in. I mean, I'm going to pat myself on the back for a minute. You know, I came in.
You want me to do that for you?
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I mean, within 2 days, I went in there and just kicked rear and took names.
Well,
that's what I did.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, people were jumping around where everybody was just, you know, oh, they were basically screwing her over. And within 2 days, I turned that whole damn thing upside down. And it isn't because I'm some sort of smarty pants. Everything that I had done, any union shop steward that was relatively decently trained could have done that and should have done that. And I said to her, because she pays, as do other union members, her colleagues, they're paying a tremendous amount of money for union services. I said to her, I said, tell me something. I said, what do you get from this union? I mean, you're plunking out all this money out of your paycheck every single month, and tell me what they do for you. Well, collective bargaining. How often do you use collective bargaining, for God's sakes? How many more people have administrative issues like you do? Now, she has worked, you know, for this particular organization for, I think, about 18 years. I think she's coming up to about two or three years.
Longer than that,
From retirement. And she's been just a stellar employee. Not one blemish on her record. I mean, she is a goody two-shoes, so to speak. All right. And just goes over and above and dedicates herself to this organization. And when the chips were down, they basically screwed her over like she was a piece of dirt.
Yeah.
And what she ended up, good news was, as a result, she ended up winning her situation. But I said to her, I said, you know what? You and your colleagues would be so much better spent. Your money would be so much better spent, and you'd get so much more accomplished if you simply hired one or two attorneys that do nothing but labor law and a decent investigator. Just three people instead of this huge union that takes all your money and spends it on political campaigns for people that you would never even vote for.
And that's what they do. And that's why I dislike unions immensely. And I can't honestly think of one that has a lot of value in my book.
Now, you know, in police work, not in all police work, because there are some police agencies where the officers are involved, like in Teamsters unions. I know that's the case, at least when I was up in Alaska doing a little bit of work, some consulting work up there. I think they were members of the Teamsters. And I said, wow, I can't even believe that. But we had an association. You guys had an association.
Well, yeah, and the firefighters have associations.
And that worked fine. Don't you think that worked fine?
I actually do think as well that that could be done the same way as you're saying the other. I think that you don't need this big administrative thing that costs a lot of money. I don't think that you need that in this day and age anymore.
I don't think
because
so.
Things are very different now.
Yes, I agree.
So, I mean, what they want is a bargaining
you need
chip here.
Exactly.
And I think that if somebody put together just a very simple organization with a bargaining type of...
Well, you need collective bargaining and you need LDF, okay? You need a legal defense fund and collective bargaining. What
the
heck do you need a
union
for? You
don't need a whole big union with all of its...
trappings
of, yeah,
and all the administration and the overhead.
And the fact that they donate money... They should not be allowed to donate money to political causes.
Well, I think the courts are cleaning that up now. Are they not?
I don't know.
I think
something to check out.
I think the courts are beginning to clear that up, and I think, I could be wrong, but I thought that was a United States Supreme Court case somewhat recently within the last year. But anyway, you know, since we're speaking about California, and, you know, of course, we're involved in firearms training and all of that kind of stuff, do you see that come July 1st, Californians that are gun owners are now going to have to pass a background check in order to buy ammunition?
You know what this is? This is a shameless way for them to get more money. That's all that it is.
Well, listen, they passed. This is one of those bills that they passed on themselves, okay? That was designed by the California legislature. As a matter of fact, the guy that championed the cause, which back in 2016 was called Proposition 63, was Gavin Newsom, who was the lieutenant governor back then. Now he's the governor. Okay, Jerry Brown was the governor back then, and Newsom was the lieutenant governor. But now this is what's going to happen, and it's absolutely incredible. And all it is, it has nothing to do with gun safety.
No.
It has everything to do with another way that the state of California can do two things. Number one, try to force people to get rid of their guns by making it too expensive. And number two, collecting a boatload of money. So if you are going to buy 50 rounds of 9mm ammunition for practice, okay, 50 rounds, it costs about $15. What it's going to cost you now is it's going to cost you over double the amount of money, because the background check, there's going to be two background checks. One is like the state background check, and I think they're going to charge you a dollar for that. But the FFL, the person that owns the firearms license, federal firearms license, they're going to get their money out of it, and they're going to charge about $20 to $25 per background check to do that. So your $15, or it's going to cost you like $30 to $35 for 50 rounds of ammunition. That is ridiculous.
Well, I am sure that the NRA is going to sue them for that.
They probably
will. On
some
sort of discriminative basis, I'm sure that they will. But, you know, I mean, then look, it's California. It depends on what kind of judge you get there. Yeah, it's, again, we're talking about bad behavior. We're talking about politicians who do stupid things that are not in the best interest of the people that they serve, but they're in the interest of, just like unions are, in the interest of getting more money out of your pocket and using it for things they want to use it for, not so that you can use your own money for things that you want to use it for.
Well, you know, speaking about the ammunition, and I have to beg ignorance here because being in Texas, I don't follow that much California politics like I used to when we lived there. But I always think of myself as, number one, an upland game hunter. So I'm a dove hunter, you know, I'm a pheasant hunter, a quail hunter, and then also I'm a shooter. Okay, and I love to shoot my handguns and rifles. So what about our dove hunters? What about all of our hunters? And they're buying like a case, you know, I used to buy a case of a 7.5 shot, Upland Game 7.5 shot, all the time. And so what's that going to cost me? Are they going to charge me by the box a 25 rounds? How is that going to work? I mean, I have no idea. Are they going to put a cap?
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to put a cap
on how many rounds you can buy at a time.
Yeah,
that would
be
horrible.
I don't know, but if people hear us talking before July 1st, they better go out and start buying ammo right now.
Well, y'all better stock up, okay?
Yeah.
You ought to be buying cases
Clean
and
out
cases.
Those stores.
Cases and cases of ammo. But anyway, isn't that terrible that we just have to, that some people have to put up with that? It's just terrible. Talking about bad behavior.
Yeah, and
I think they've been giving them driver's licenses for what, Linda? About 4 years now. Am I about right?
Yeah,
about right.
Yeah.
Just before we left, they started giving illegal aliens driver's licenses. But here's the thing about California. They've got motor voter.
Right.
So what they did, and I know this was intentional.
Oh,
they
absolutely
said it was a big mistake, but I know this was intentional. They registered illegal aliens to vote in the 2016 elections. And they found just throughout the state, and I know there was more, but they found 21,000 illegal aliens had fraudulently voted in the 2016 elections.
Oh, it was far more than that.
Well, wait a minute. That's just with motor voter.
Yeah.
They also found, and we talked about this, mm-hmm, they found 1.5 million fraudulent votes in the state of California during the 2016 elections, and the county that led all the other 57 counties, which was which one? Do you remember?
Los Angeles
County.
Yeah.
1.5 million votes. Come on now.
Well, what they did with the motor voter is DMV actually sent out forms to these people and filled it out for them and checked that they were,
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Able to vote. And, I mean, that's
come on.
Just
those
wrong.
People need to go to jail
okay.
for something like that.
So if they say it's a mistake, then that means you are so completely incompetent.
Well, we know that.
That you don't deserve your job and you should be fired immediately. And other than that, it was intentional and somebody told them to do it, and they need to go to jail.
Well, find a municipal worker that's going to lose their job over something like that. Okay.
Well, and that's a big problem, and we talk about that, and I'd like to talk about that again. So I'm going to save that, because municipal workers, federal employees, teachers should all be able to lose their jobs just like anybody else in private companies.
Well, I just want to mention one last thing, and that is, did you see where President Trump has been talking about massive deportations of illegal aliens that are here in this yes. country illegally. And it's interesting because the ICE, which is the Custom Enforcement of Border Patrol, ICE Acting Director Mark Morgan just testified recently that the border crisis is so completely out of control in the United States. In May alone, they made 144,000 apprehensions. And so now what's going to take place is, and Trump just kind of let it off, and maybe he's talking to his base when he, you know, did it when he announced his candidacy. But I'll tell you what else can they do but have mass national deportations? Yeah. But I don't think it's going to take place until we get that border sealed.
Well,
but it's got to take place.
They can go for it. And Mexico is stepping up to the plate and arresting people in their country as well. I have one more thing for you. I know you didn't see it, but I saw the video today. Our daughter's two dogs were hit face on by a huge porcupine.
Oh, man, I heard about that.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I had no idea how much damage that can do to them. One dog really came through it okay. The other dog is really struggling. But I saw the video of the porcupine. It actually came into their yard to eat a berry bush.
And I think Chris had one of those game cameras out in his backyard.
He did have a game camera filmed on it. Yeah.
Oh, I got to see it.
Yeah. I mean, I did. The actual throwing of the quills is not on the video. But the porcupine eating the bush right before that happened is. So anyway, it's really, really interesting. And I got to say that I hope Desi never gets hit by a porcupine because that was pretty devastating.
Well, I want to ask you a porcupine question. I don't know. I don't know if you know the answer to it. I'm not sure that I do. Now, you said they kind of like shoot the quills, but my understanding is that they don't shoot the quills, but if you get near it, they release them. Okay, but it's not like, I don't know, it's not like they shoot them at you. It's like their muscles or something move forward towards you with the quills, and then they automatically fall away from the porcupine. Is that what it is? I'm going to have to do some looking up on that.
Well, I would say, just by what happened to those dogs, having them all inside their mouths, up their nose, all over their face, all over their ears, I would say that I don't know what the correct word is, but I'm saying that porcupine shot those quills at those dogs.
Well, I'll tell you what, Linda, just more good news to end our coffee conversation tonight.
Hey, good news is the dogs have survived, and, you know.
And I'm glad there was alcohol in my coffee tonight. All right, you ready for bed?
I am.
Let's do it.